The topic would then be the SSSS, the System Singularity Stability Set. I sometimes like these word games, and I like these letter games. In this case, it is a very tricky one because it describes how everything in our body connects, but also how the whole of humanity connects. So you mentioned the issue of trust. That would be how we experience health between us. So in that sense, we have a health of humanity, we have a health in the body, and I try to understand how we can best understand both. And for that, I had enormous help by the work of Bert Verveen, a physiologist, who concluded that health and disease are essentially based on the closure of the feed-forward and the feedback loops between living cells. And so I followed that trace and realized that if there's a feed-forward and a feedback loop, then that originates somewhere. And after that understanding, I realized that it originates from the cell division, which of course starts with the first cell. So in essence, I've done extreme reductionism by no longer looking at what happens in humanity and the kind of communication that exists between people, because I realize that all of the communication between people are based on communications between cells in our body. The principles of interhuman communication are based on the principle of intercellular communication. Cell communication between all of the cells of the body, we can understand to derive from the first cell. If you look at the rear view mirror, you can see the body go younger and younger and younger if you go back in time until you end up with one cell. And if you then follow time in the direction as we know it, you can see that that first cell originated out of the nuclear cell fusion of the sperm and the egg, out of which came the zygote, which is the name for the first cell in our living body. As an aside, that zygote, of course, came out of the fusion of two living cells, each of which came out of the fusion of two living cells, each of which came out of the fusion of two living cells. So if you follow that whole trail backwards, you can see that your first cell came out of the fusion of two cells, or four cells, eight cells, and ever more cells, until you have more cells than you have in humanity. As a result of which, you know, we're all related and we actually form one organism. But the other way around, you can also see that if you go back one generation, two generations, that you can go back until the first cell in time. So you know that our body is basically billions of years old, and that the first cell in existence somehow merged with other cells and split and divided into other cells, and all of those cells unfolded to form the different forms of life. And Gaston Nassant says that out of the amino acids came the fungus, came the virus, came the microbes. And as Lynn Margulis said, out of a fusion of microbes we had the eukaryote cell, which then was the foundation of the multicellular organisms, the plants, the animals, including us. So when we look at the first cell in the body, we can see the whole origination of all of the forms of life contained within it. And we can see how over the billions of years, those first cells were able to, let's say, create a sphere of influence around them, as a result of which the amino acids became the spores, then they became the fungus, then they became the virus, which is basically a fungus going in more than one direction, and then they became a microbes, which is essentially a virus with a little drop of oil around it so that it lives in this little environment. So while these microbial organisms grew, they incorporated the new information of the new environment that they lived in, and as a result the amino acid became RNA, which then folded into the DNA and stored more and more information about the capacity to live on Earth. And so in that sense you can say that life forms DNA and not the other way around. DNA is merely a kind of baton of a concert director, orchestra director. It is like a magic key for the unfolding of the body by the information which has been stored in the previous body. And as Bruce Lipton points out, every time there is new information in the body, then that is added to the DNA by the combination of the sensor protein, the portal protein, the linking protein, which then connects to the DNA mantle protein, which writes newness into the DNA. So over billions of years, all of the new experience have been written into the DNA. And that then is carried into the zygote, which is the starting point of our body. I already had an insight that the zygote therein is the key to the understanding of health and consciousness in our body. And in order to get to that understanding, I was really helped by the work of Bert Verveen, who, as I mentioned, explained that if you look at the diseases in the body, there are basically two kinds, which are the diseases of excess and the diseases of deficit. So, for example, you can have one of the hormones which is too much, you can have too little of it. And so Cushing disease and Addison's disease are exactly the same disease, but the one has to do with too much and the other has to do with too little. And in that way, there are many, many diseases which are dual. Dual is the word for complementary, pairwise. So they all connect. And if you look at the balance between them, you can see that, for example, in the Addison-Cushing disease pair, that it has to do with the corticosteroid hormones, which are produced too much or too little, which means that there is something not quite right in the production of these hormones. That, by the way, connects also to the work of Hans Selye, who showed that inflammation and inflammation repression, which comes from the corticosteroid hormones, different group as well, likewise has to do with more of it or less of it. So there is a kind of thermostat setting of a balance of the normal production of specific groups of hormones. And in case of need, they can be increased so that the specific activity is enhanced. But in the same way, complementary to this accelerator effect, there is a braking effect, a deceleration effect, that it is possible to reduce these levels of the hormones, as a result of which processes reduce. And in the inflammation system, basically it is the connective tissues of the body, the membranes of the body, which are then affirmed by the anti-inflammatory system, or they are accelerated or inflamed by the inflammatory system. And it's intriguing that in that specific process, it is about the relation between the glucocorticoid hormones and the mineralocortico hormones. And the gluco is plant-based, mineralo is mineral-based. So actually at that level you can see that in the body there is the mineral level of our being in the mineral corticosteroids, where things are affirmed, which is the anti-inflammatory process, and the plant life, where things are activated, which is the exciting or the inflammatory process. And of course next to the mineral and the plant level, we also have the animal level and the human level. So we see that all of these levels are connected. And by the combination of the work of Hans Selye, which says that from within the cell there is this regular process of acceleration and deceleration, and from the work of Bert Verveen, that the result of that on the outside is the increase of the feed forward loop and the relative decrease of the feedback loop, then we can see that this principle of feed forward and feedback loops essentially is the basis of the cell communication in our body, and as I mentioned before, that is also the foundation of the communication between people. So the nature of health in our body is defined by the continuity of the coherence of those forward and feedback loops in the body between all of the cells. So if we can understand health as the continuity of coherence of cell communication, then the counterpart of that, which is the health in society, which we see as peace in humanity, is based on exactly the same principle. The only difference is that what we see in humanity as the interaction between people is always based on what happens within the individual. And this is exactly the same as what I described for the relationship between the work of Hans Selye, who described what happens within the cell, with the more or less of what is being produced, and the complementary work of Bert Verveen, who said that between the cells you can have an increase or a decrease of the feed forward and the feedback loops between the cells, which are the basis of cell communication. So in that sense, I did not need to look anymore at a difference between humanity and the human. Everything that happens within the human, we can also see in an unfolded form in humanity. And think back of what I described before. The first cell, which has its own cellular process and its internal dynamic. And then when that cell divides, suddenly you have two cells, and the internal cell cycle has turned into a feed forward and a feedback loop connecting these two cells on the outside. So they're linked on the inside in their internal cell cycle, and they're linked on the outside by their shared forward, feed forward and feedback cycle. So I had already made an enormous reduction in complexity of the understanding of what happens in health, and I could now understand that in terms of what happens in the body. So all of these questions which I had about the war and the hunger and all the problems in humanity, I could now simply reduce to the patterns of interactions between cells in our body. Evidently, within humanity, we can see that war is the result of disease. Disease is the result of hunger, and hunger is the result of lack of food. So, in that sense, all of the wars and all of the aggression on the planet are simply the result of people not sharing the food that they have between them. And there is abundant research to show that the Earth produces much more food than humanity can ever eat. And there's also abundant proof that much of the food is being destroyed. And in fact, feeding cattle is one of the ways of the destruction of food. And so when we look at the problems in humanity, we can see that there's a lack of communication between people, that they do not help each other. If people would simply help each other and share abundance, then we would immediately have paradise on the planet. So at the level of humanity, I was already looking at the problems which we see there. In a more simple form, I also realized that all of these problems, such as war coming out of disease, coming out of starvation, coming out of the lack of food or poverty, basically it's a poverty of mind, of not sharing. In the same way, I had already understood that crime within the humanity is exactly the same principle. It is simply not at the level of physical fights, but at the level of mental conflict. I had come to that understanding of the relationship between war and crime, and the possibility to cure war and the possibility to cure criminality, on the basis of that work of Bert Vervain. Because when he said that it is the feed forward and the feedback stability, the coherence of the cell communication, which is the foundation of health, he did not formulate it in that way, but it was very evident that that was the conclusion of all of his work. Then we can also understand that once we understand the communication of the cells in its full scope, then we can explain all of the other conflicts in humanity. And so when I looked into the work of Bert Vervain, I saw that what he described as the feed forward and the feedback loop between the cells in our body, we can understand at four levels, because the cells communicate using molecules which are physical, but every molecule is also chemical because it has a reactivity. And actually every molecule is also electromagnetic because it is a group of atoms which are composed of plus, minus and the zero, so to say, the proton, the neutron and the electron. I switched the order there, I realize. So the molecules are electromagnetic spectra, which is also how they measured in the laboratory. But more important, at the most basic level, you can see that molecules are atoms in formation. They are a formation of atoms. And atoms, of course, are the plus, minus, and zeros of the electromagnetic field. And from the description of tetrionics, from the models of tetrionics, we can see that the foundation of it all is phase coherence. So it is all about information in formation. But that means that if the cells communicate at those four levels of physics, chemistry, electromagnetics and the quantum field, that the physiology of our body, which is described in medicine as this exchange of molecules between the cells, is also the psychology of our body, which is the chemistry, the flow of electricity in a body in the form of those molecules, but it is also the soul level of the radio field in which all of these cell communications are connected. So the physiology of the body is at the same time the psychology, because the flow of matter is also the flow of information. And as we know from the psychosomatic effect, these things are very much interconnected. So it is not that the flow of matter determines the flow of ideas, but likewise that the flow of ideas can determine the flow of matter. And that's what you find with all these yogis who can regulate the heartbeat, control the perspiration and respiration, and they do that by changing the ideas that they have, as a result of which the body sort of senses a different kind of climate or mental setting. And evidently, if you imagine something for the body, that could be the equivalent of the body experiencing something. So then all of these things are connected, and evidently if within our body the physiology and the psychology are connected, then outside of the body we call that sociology and ecology. The sociology is, say, the counterpart of the psychology within us. It is based on the communication between people rather than the communication between cells and organs within our body. And the ecology is the counterpart of the physiology. In the physiology we see how the cells together build the whole body, and in the ecology we see how humanity interacts with the planet. So all of this information I had already, and realized that in the communication between the cells at four levels, the physical, the chemical, electromagnetic, and the quantum field. We have the counterpart of what we experience in the relationship between the physiology, the psychology, the sociology, and the ecology, linking humans and humanity. Earlier I mentioned that we can also note that link between humans and humanity for the simple reason that the zygote, if you look backwards, it stems from all of those ancestors which together form all of humanity. And if from the zygote you look forward and look through all the cell divisions which are connected, then we can see that it is also the basis of us being human. So you look the one way, you see humanity, you look the other way, you see human. So you know that human and humanity are directly connected. So that I already understood at that time, but then I still needed to understand how does that connection work and what determines that connection. And that is where I then came up to this model of the SSSS, the System Singularity Stability Set, which is a fancy name for describing that the first cell, when it divides, it starts a chain reaction which connects to a nuclear reaction, and out of that the body is formed. So what I try to understand is the logic of the formation of the body, because yes, we have the DNA, which is sort of a blueprint of, okay, do this step first, do that step next, just like you have a knitting pattern for knitting a sweater, or you have a computer program for activating a computer. So the DNA is only the stored information from the past on the unfolding of the body. But the unfolding of the body itself is different dynamic. The DNA is merely the coat hanger which says if this then that. But that coat hanger is activated by something which is much more fundamental than the DNA, which is actually the foundation of the creation of the DNA. And that foundation lies in the cell being able to be distinct from its environment and yet being able to interact with the environment. So that's also what's being described by Bruce Lipton. He then describes at the cellular level that there is a sensor protein which gathers the information from outside, the portal protein which opens the membrane and can close it so that things can go in and out of the cells, the pinocytosis and the exocytosis, as it is called. Those processes of ins and outs of the cells with the information around the cell is then combined in the linking protein, which is, say, the core of the computer of our thinking process within us, which then transcribes it into the DNA, as I mentioned before, to add information to the DNA. But when you look at those four proteins, they're exactly the same as the four elements of alchemy, or as we would describe them now, the four aspects of system theory. In system theory, it is described as the relationship between state, process, transformation, and information. And if you look at it in a more general sense, you see that it is the relationship between space, time, energy, and consciousness. So that is what happens within the cell. At the core of the cell, when the cell divides, it connects these four elements of the alchemists, and you can see that the material structure of the cell dissolves into the molecular rearrangement, which requires an atomic reorganization. The formation of the atoms need to be transformed, and you can only do that by working with the electromagnetic field, at the quantum field, which forms and orchestrates the coherence of the electrons. So I realized that within the cells, they actually work with nuclear forces, but they also work with cosmic information. They have both of them together. The cells are able to change the matter, by changing the molecules, by changing the relationship of the atom, and they can only do that by operating in the phase field right at the basis of the universe. So the whole principle of the cell working with atomic nuclear forces actually comes from a deeper level, which is that the cells are able to work with the quantum field itself directly. Then, of course, we have a very peculiar and very fascinating situation, which is that which is described by the alchemist, that we literally see the relationship between earth, water, air, and fire, which was the term that the alchemist used for matter, molecules, atoms, and the phase field. And we can see that indeed it is a quintessence, the fifth element, which determines the zipper function between them. And the quintessence is the flip of a quantum, because by the flip of the quantum field is changed, as a result of which the atomic level can be changed, as a result of which the molecular formation can be changed, as a result of which the forming of matter can be changed, exactly as the alchemist said. And I mentioned elsewhere that we can understand that in the simplest way by seeing that the quantum flip operates at those four levels of cell communication by a photon leap, which in the atoms then works as a quantum electron leap, which then in the molecules will be seen as an electron oscillation, which in matter will be seen as electron bonding. So actually the difference between matter, molecules, atoms and phase space is only the flip of an electron, as the alchemist described in the term of the quintessence. And now, a couple of centuries later, we can be much more precise in how we describe it, but the principle is exactly the same. So I knew that that is the principle by which the cell then sort of collapses into itself, and actually in doing that goes from material space to the molecular process, to the atomic transformation, to the quantum information. But that is exactly the same relationships as that between space, time, energy and consciousness. So in the process of cell division we have these four elements of space, time, energy and consciousness as matter, molecules, atoms in quantum space, as the earth, water, air and fire elements of the alchemist. And basically it is only the relationship between bound electrons, traveling electrons, electron jumps and photon jumps. So if that's the only thing that happens in cell division, then of course in cell replication, which is the reversal of the process, we must see the same. And then we come to the core of this whole SSSS concept, which is that the cell, in that dynamic of a cell division and multiplication, that is in combination cell replication, is a singularity. The only way that we can really understand what happens at that level is in the image of a vortex, for the simple reason that space is three-dimensional, time is two-dimensional, energy is one-dimensional, and phase space is zero-dimensional. Space is a standing wave, time is a traveling wave, energy is a shock wave, and phase space is phase change at zero-point oscillation. So it means that in the cell we have that relationship between three dimensions, two dimensions, one dimension, zero dimensions, and the most simple form which bridges that transition is the vortex, as described elsewhere already. If you pull the plug of a bath, the three-dimensional volume of the bath, the water, will flow away from the surface, two-dimensional, by the streamline of the vortex, one-dimensional, through the sinkhole of the tub, which is zero-dimensional. So the cell at its core, which is that dynamic of cell replication, is a singularity. And the cell as a singularity is a vortex, So we can see that when the cell sort of dissolves back into phase space, it goes through 3 to 2 to 1 to 0 dimensions, and then it seemingly bounces back on an infinitely hard wall and mirrors back as two cells, following the same pattern as that of the cosmic dynamic of creation. From phase space you have the gas cloud, you have the stars, and then you have the planets. In this case, from phase space you have the atomic rearrangement, you have the molecular rearrangement, you have the physical rearrangement. For the thinking process of all the things I mentioned, of human humanity war and health, war and peace, and health and disease, it has now come back to only one principle, which is that of that first cell, which can now be described by what in mathematics and physics is called a singularity. Think of the picture of a vortex. The vortex turns inside out on itself. You go from the vortex to the from the one side to the other side, and everything seems to be opposite, but it's in fact exactly the same. So in physics or cosmology, they would say, on the one hand, you see it disappear, the cell in a way disappears back to zero space, which would be the black hole. And on the other side, the cell bounces back from that phase space, which would be called a white source. So black and white are simply the different aspects of the same principle, but you can only look at that if you see how they connect in that vortex. And by the way, that is exactly what has been described by that symbol of Dai Chi, which is the symbol of a vortex which you see from two sides and you see that the one feeds into the other and the other way around, so that the opposites are connected. And that was what I was looking for in that understanding of the unity of human and humanity. And that is what I found at the level of looking at the cell as a singularity. But then, of course, I wasn't there yet, because once you understand that a cell, dividing cell, is a singularity, then you don't have the understanding yet of how all the cells in the body connect. And that is where I was held by the concept introduced by Susie Froebel, who described the principle of the time fractal. The time fractal is that things happen in time which are connected, but then they can split up and do their own things. And that's exactly what we see in the dynamic of cell divisions. Every cell division is a cell decision. But once you start with the zygote, you can see that out of the zygote come two cells, but then the principle repeats. Each of these two cells can divide. So you have two cells yet again, if it is a doubling process. And remember that in that singularity operation of cell replication, we have this mathematical mirror process, mathematical magic, that division is multiplication. As much as you divide, you also multiply, which means that unity is always maintained, which means, and that is very literal, that the cells together form a unity, and functionally they are still a unit. And so I was looking for a way to describe how cells could be a unity and a unit, and that was precisely what was offered by this model of Susie Froebel. Because if you trace the cell division decisions from the first cell onward, you can mark the cell division as a point in time, and then out come the two cells, which you can then trace as lines up to the next moment of a cell division decision. Then you get a new bifurcation point, it splits again, and in that way you can trace the whole fractal throughout time of all the cell divisions decisions, and that is what Susie calls the time fractal. So that means that all of these singularities in the body together form a set. They are linked by this time fractal. You can also call it the decision tree, or the tree of life, or the tree of good and evil, the tree of yes and no, which is what a decision tree is. These ancient terms, or the tree of the world, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge, and the tree of good and evil, they're exactly the same. They're this dynamic of cell division, decisions, which are all connected in this time fractal. It is not that you get more cells, but you get more of the same. Because every time the cell splits and doubles, that what was inside of the cell is now seen between the cells. You not only have more cells, but you also have more cell membranes, and you also have more feed-forward feedback loops between the cells. And that, of course, is fascinating, because while for every cell cycle that has doubled into a cell feed-forward and feedback loop between the two cells that came out of the cell division of that cell, you know, no longer have the need to trace these very many feed-forward and feedback loops, because you have exactly the same principle described in the time fractal, where one cell has a path in time, then it divides, two cells follow their track, they divide, and so on. So the time fractal describes all of that, and the time fractal therein connects the cell cycle within the cells to the cell communication between the cells. But there's no need to describe that. That's already implied in this notion of the time fractal. So in that sense, the description of what happens in the body is simplified immensely and intensely, because by the time fractal, which for me I now actually call the soul of the body, because it connects all these cell division decisions. So in the soul of the body, in that time fractal, you can see the coherence of the whole body as a whole, the body as a system. So this is where we can then connect the notion of the cell as a singularity to the cell system of all of the cells together. And then the only thing that we need to really specify is how the single cell as a singularity and the whole body composed of cells as a system is coherent within itself by this time fractal. Evidently, the stability of that whole system is determined by the way that the system as a whole still harkens back, falls back, traces back to that first cell in the body. So that we can only conclude that while the body has become an immense amount of cells, billions of cells, they can only form in unity as a unit if they always come back to that notion that they are connected to that first cell. That means that we can only understand the stability of the system as a whole if we realize that the system has a setting and functions as a set by which the singularity of the individual cell, of the first cell, the zygote, is always, say, the metronome or the reference point for the whole system. I once described that in a text called The Equation of Health, in which I looked at that pattern of unfoldment of the cell, the first cell, by that fractal bifurcation again and again and again, forming the body as a whole. And then you can imagine that as if you have a point and it has more and more cells around it, because it doubles again and again. And just imagine, for simplicity's sake, that the body would be imagined as a sphere. In topology you can do that. You can say, well, the body has a surface. As it has a surface, we can actually understand it, that it can correlates or compares to something else that has a surface, such as a sphere. So we can say the body in essence is a sphere. In actuality it's a torus, it's a donut, but that principle still stands. That the body as a whole is like a ball moving in space, but then it bumps into the environment, and it's bumping into the environment. There can be an influence on the ways that cell communication takes place. It can cause a disturbance in the cell communication. The feed forward and the feedback loop can be altered. They can be broken even. And so if you then look back from that model of the body as a sphere, you can sort of see that it bumps with the environment, can sort of bump into it. And depending on how, say, the hardness of that ball, it will dent in and bounce back, or it will dent in and not bounce back, and that's one specific type of disease. It will dent in and break off part of it. That's a different kind of disease. Or it will dent in and it will create fractures within the system. That's another type of disease. Or it can dent in, break up inside and break up the system as a whole, and that's what we call death. So I really simplified this whole understanding of health and disease and reduced it to the interaction between the system and the environment, and that the effect of the interaction between the system and the environment would cause a breakdown of the system at the level of the feed forward and the feedback, and thus also at the level of the cell cycles involved. But you could easily trace that, because the crash of the system in the environment would actually affect or afflict points in that fractal. So that is the equation of health, that in the cell unfolding to form the whole body, a balance is maintained. An equation between the inside and the outside is also always maintained, and the continuity of the equating of the balance between inside and the outside is what we call health. Therefore, the term the equation of health. It's a verb equation. It's equating it and maintaining that it equates, maintaining the balance. And then from the equation of health, you can see the relationship between health and disease by the way the fractal in the body collapses. But in order to be able to describe how that took place, I needed to have a deeper level of understanding, and that's that of the SSSS, of the system singularity stability set. Actually, it is the understanding that the cells as a singularity form a set at every level of the unfoldment of that time fractal. It is a set which expands, and as a set of cells, they are interconnected, and as a set of cells, they have a setting for their internal stability, their internal coherence, their internal balance. And that setting actually operates at different levels. So there is the level of the cell, there is the level of the cell clusters, the level of the organ, there's the level of the organ clusters, and there's the level of the body, and so on. In the most simple way, you could say that the internal process, there's the level of the cell, there's the level of the organ, and the level of the body, the alchemy revisited. So the SSSS, or the system singularity stability set, simply defines that everything that happens in the body is always defined by what happens at that level of the singularity. It always comes back to the cell replication, where division is multiplication, where the cell turns inside out, and the internal cell cycle ends up becoming a feed forward and feedback loop between the two cycles that have been formed out of that mirroring of the cell onto the subatomic quantum phase space. So that is the only machinery which operates this alchemy of cell replication, in which the cell uses atomic nuclear energies by its capacity to actually work with the quantum field itself directly. the cell can take quantum field and funnel quantum flows and direct quantum flows into circulations, as a result of which molecules can be pried apart or be put together, because that is the only way that you can reorganize atoms to form molecules. Of course, if you can do that at the level of the atoms, you can also do it at the level of the molecules. And that is how the cells between them are able to position molecules and form materials to optimize, to streamline the communication of cells between them. In that sense, you can say that the cell is a CPU, a central processing unit in a computer, and that these networked CPUs form the software which execute the program by which the hardware of the body is formed. To put it in a different terminology, the cells actually create the motherboard by which they together can compute the information that they processed in the best possible manner. But to understand that, we can now reduce it back to this more fundamental principle of the system stability singularity set, which essentially is a reinterpretation of the understanding of system theory. System theory defined and described by Ludwig von Bertalanffy, a biologist, is based on an understanding that in mathematics there are differential equations, which are equations which describe the difference from one state to the other. Say it's the mathematics of alchemy. And in the difference between one state and the other, you can relate state to process, to transformation, to information, Alchemy Revisited. And in system theory, you can then describe that as the relationship between systems by the dynamic within systems. And I like system theory so much because I actually started on the basis before system theory, actually before I met system theory, which was on the foundation of the logic that if you look at change in the universe, you can define that as the difference between yes and no, something you do know and something you don't know. And there's a boundary between them, but in that boundary you do not know if it is yes or no. So it could be yes or no, which is maybe, or it could be not yes and not no, as something else altogether, which means you don't know. So I already had that logic of yes, no, maybe, and I don't know, which I then recognized in the description of system theory, which in many texts I described in different ways. So for example, you can see the same principle in mathematics, where you have fixed numbers, which would be the state of things. You have variables, which would be the process of things. You have the operators, which are the transformation of things. And you have the information of things, which is the equation sign. So system theory helps us understand how everything in the universe connects. But in order to see how within the system everything connects, you need to go to the deeper level of the four-dimensional logic, the four-dimensional dynamic logic of yes, no, maybe, don't know, which is in essence the dynamic of a change of a quantum. The change of the quantum can also be described in a more general term by the word of a singularity. And that is where I then already said, but we know what a singularity is because we have so many examples of it. The most universal fundamental example of that of a vortex. And once we understand that that vortex, which creates the connection between two opposites, is also what we see in cell division, where we can see that when one cell divides, out of it come two cells, which each have a cell cycle, But evidently, those cell cycles must be connected. And by the law of preservation of angular momentum, or the preservation of spin, the rotation of the cell cycle must be the opposite of the rotation of the cell cycle in the other cell. They together must be one cell cycle still, which means that the two cells actually are a Möbius loop. And even though they appear to be separate cells, you can see that they are not, because between them they have this feed forward and the feedback loop, which are, say, the invisible connection of the Möbius loop, which are the invisible connection of the two cells, which are the invisible connection which shows that they are essentially still one cell, that the one cell has turned inside out, and the feed forward and the feedback loop is the connection point in the Möbius loop where the two cells are still connected. And so once we understand that, we can understand that the integrity of that connectedness between the two cells is based on that pivotal vortex dynamic, which is now part inside the cell, part outside the cell, between the cells, but it is just as strong as before. So the feed forward and the feedback loops between the cells is a very powerful attractor, which makes sure that these two cells still work as a unit, that the two cells form a set, that the cells are, as a set, are a unity, and as a result of that dynamic which they share, can function as a unit. And that is the core of that concept of the set in the system singularity stability set. Because there you can see that the internal cell cycle and the, let's call it the external cell cycle, the cell communication or the feed forward feedback loop between the cells, they're still one system, they're still a set. And then of course we have the logical understanding that the stability of the body as a whole, based on the individuality of the set of the cell, which is a singularity, is defined by that dynamic of the set, the internal cell cycle and the external cell cycle, which is feedback forward and the feedback loop. In the cell we can see that there is a cycle which is a circle. In the two cells we can see that there are two circles, which means that they are connected by a Möbius loop, which is a figure eight, a Lemnis gate. If you have a rubber band and you fold it, you can see that it makes a figure eight. And it is that figure eight by which the one loop and the other loop are still connected, as if they unfold the rubber band from an eight to a circle again, as if they still form one circle, they're still one set. So from one cell division to the next, from one level to the next, from one set to the next level of the set, we can see that they're all connected. And then we can also see that the stability of the system as a whole is defined by the way these set interlink. We can simply trace that back, and that is, say, calculus, algebra, mathematics, geometry. And geometry of tetrionics is the nicest one to use for this kind of purpose. We can see that phase change can lead to change in atoms, which can lead to the formation of molecules, which can lead to the formation of matter. But likewise, the cell by its cell division can lead to a set, which can lead to a system of organs, which can lead to the the system of the body as a whole. And there we can see that the body as a whole, you could hear me think on the background already. I was trying to go to the word of the soliton, because the body as a whole is a soliton. And once you understand that, the soliton is a hologram which can repeat itself, as Maturana and Varela described it, autopoiesis. It can operate itself. It can self-reform itself. So then we can see that the system of singularity stability set links the singularity to the soliton, and that we can see that all of it is based on the simple fundamental relationship of the organization of the universe as a pattern of vibrations. Because there we can see that we can recognize the pattern of a wave which can link up to another wave to form a wave train, that the wave trains can actually have a stability between them because they form a set, and once they do so, they have a wave envelope. They are specified as a wave train with a start and an end. But if that wave train and the wave envelope are attuned and calibrated to itself, it can actually reverberate within itself and contain, reaffirm itself by this dynamic of autopoiesis. It is like a self-vibrating violin string. It's the principle of the smoke ring that you blow, and it goes can travel from one side of the room to the other because it is a soliton. The wave as a wave train with a wave envelope works as a soliton, and the soliton simply means that the wave envelope can keep the organization of the wave train so that the individual waves can be preserved, and they can be preserved together in their wholeness. And that is where we can then apply that understanding to the body as a whole and see that that relationship between the wave train, the wave envelope and the soliton is what we see in the cells forming the organs, forming the body, which is able to remain stable in the environment that we live in. So that is where this notion of the SSSS, or the system singularity stability set, is the foundation of health as we know it in the body. The mathematics is already there. A lot of the mathematics is at the level of holograms. All of it needs to be understood at the level of the vibrational waves, because at the quantum level, that's the only thing that we have. We can understand it in the terms of alchemy, because that is where we see the zipper of the creation of a reality, from photon leap to electron oscillation to electron bonding. It means that the system stability singularity set is the formulation of the logic by which the cells will and can create the body, maintain the body, but it is also the explanation for the breakdown of the body at the time that an external influence will crash into this time fractal by which the unit is connected into unity in the multiplicity of all these cells. But then we have a real and true foundation for the understanding of health, and by the work of Hans Selye and Bert Verveen, also the understanding of self-regulation, as Hans Selye and Bert Verveen have described, including the whole understanding of the origination of disease, as Bert Verveen described and Hans Selye implied. And then we have the full understanding that the origination of disease in the body is not just at the level of the physiology, but also at the level of the psychology. And because everything what happens within the human is mirrored to what happens within humanity, because humans and humanity are the same system, humans are the cell in the body of humanity, then we can also understand that the physiology and the psychology within us are the foundation for understanding the sociology and the ecology at the level of humanity. So even though we can have difficulties to understand the enormous complexity of humanity with 8 billion of people, then we can yet understand that this is just the inside-out version of the human with billions of cells, and we are actually dealing with exactly the same. There's no difference. It is just the inside-out version of what we knew before. Turn the human inside out and you have humanity, till the cell turn the cell inside out and you have our body. And that process of turning inside out is a singularity, and we can see that most explicitly in the zygote. On the one hand, how it originated from papi and mommy and their papi and mommy and so on, all the way back to humanity. And the other way around, from the cells dividing again and again in a time fractal forming the body as a whole. But that means that all of the forms of healthcare that we know for our body also apply to humanity. And it also means that all of the forms of diseases that can exist, as defined by the work of Bert Vervain, we can also understand in their same origin in humanity. So as in the body there are only two types of disease, that of excess of and of deficit, we can see that within humanity there's only two types of crime, of excess and of deficit. And so we can fundamentally simplify everything, and in that way we can see that what is contained within the first cell actually already is humanity and the human. And that is why I formulated that whole idea of the system singularity stability set, that we can then at that level of the individual cell understand that there is a process, a principle, which acts in the cell. And we can now understand that the cell can use the atomic nuclear forces, because the cell actually functions at a much deeper level, and the cell actually is a manifestation or a materialization, as defined by tetrionics, of a process at the quantum field level. In that sense, in a traditional term, you would say it is a spirit being. It is a kind of cyclone which you can only see by it because it sucked up matter. And in that same way, you can see that the cell is an information processing process which is visible because it manipulates matter. But that dynamic, which is at the core of it all, is the dynamic of the singularity. And in that singularity, that point of the middle of the vortex of the inversion of the cell turning back inside out of the cell is connected to that core point, the zero point of the universe as a whole. So it is in that point that we are not only individual, but we are also universal. So in a way, I'm glad that I'm now able to define that and understand that and describe this and explain it, because once it exists in one space, it can exist everywhere. So now that that is described, we have the understanding of health, and we can actually prevent and cure disease at a much deeper level, which we can now do by restoring the compatibility of the communication and the coherence of communication between the cells. But we can also resolve all the problems at the level of humanity, because we can see that all of the four forms of world healing, of body, mind, soul and spirit in the four world cultures, West, East, Far East, Far West, they can be combined to heal humanity, as a result of which we can then end up living in paradise as intended. Because of course this planet feeds everybody by exactly that same principle of the system singularity stability set. Because as every point connects to every whole, then we can see that everything in the universe is connected. And in that sense we can see that that singularity is the equation sign where the universe turns inside out on itself, in every part where the universe exists on itself. But we can only understand that if we think in terms of a hologram and realize that in the hologram every part has the image of the whole, but the more of the parts you bring together, the more the picture of the whole can come out. And that is what, let's call it, spiritual beings do, and what criminal beings don't. With criminal beings, they try to replace one part by the other. It's as if they are puzzling the puzzle of the universe, but turn things upside down so you can no longer see how it is part of the whole, and thus you can no longer see how it connects to the whole. while the spiritual people turn the puzzle pieces face up, so that you can see that they're all different. But even though they're different and very well defined in how they are distinct from each other, that they nevertheless connect up to each other. And once you see how that works, you can see that lines cutting through a picture piece of one piece of the puzzle continues in another piece of the puzzle, and that together the pieces of the puzzle can show more of the picture than each of themselves can show alone. So that is also that notion that the cells as a singularity form a set, and that you need to connect the pieces of the puzzle. As a result of that, the picture of the puzzle comes out, which in the cell system you see as the increase of stability of the cell cluster that is formed, of the embryo and the fetus, the embryo and the body that is formed. And then you can see that the picture of the puzzle is the picture of the universe as a whole, which is where our body is a part of the universe, and actually the universe in inverse. So the outside of the skin is the universe, the inside of the skin is the body. But we now understand that the skin of the body actually came out of the cell divisions of that first cell, so that the skin of the body is actually an image or an expression of the membrane of the first cell. And to understand that intricate, integral interconnectedness between all the cells in our body, but also between all the humans in humanity, can now be done by this understanding of the system stability singularity set, the SSSS, which concludes this story of the SSSS and how it can help understand how everything and everything connects.